We're here today, obviously, to talk about Beckett. So,
yeah,
your five-year-old has been through a lot. But before we get into all of that, just tell me about him. What is he like?
He loves life. Super, super happy kid. Loves the outdoors. He spends most of it in a stroller because he's limited to how much he can move. He's able to walk and he's able to run. It's just the more movement he does, then he suffers at night. So that pain, he has a tumor in his leg. And that pain, the more he moves, the more that it affects him. And then we have to go to pain medications and stuff like that. So we pretty much know what he can do and what he can't do, and try to kind of limit his movements as much as possible. But that's our goal right now, is to really find a cure for this rare bone disease, so that he's able to play like a normal kid and not have to be limited to a 15-minute play time. And that's pretty much all he can do right now, is just short little periods of play without pain. So, but he loves fishing. He loves being in the outdoors. He loves his mommy because he's with her all the time. That's his favorite person in the world. And she's just been amazing. She's suffering as well with many different illnesses. And yeah, he's just a really happy kid. And unfortunately, he's been sick his whole life, so he doesn't really know any different. His first week of life, he had quite a few procedures. He had heart surgery. He had his lungs collapse. He's had his throat reconstructed. He's got a G-tube in his stomach to help with pressure that builds up in his stomach, and helps us to be able to feed him more and give him the nutrients that he needs, because he has a hard time eating. But with the amount of suffering that he goes through on a daily basis, he is truly a happy kid and just loves life. He just wants to be able to do more, and that's the hardest thing for us and him, is just not having the answers.
Yeah. So walk me through what a typical day would look like then for Beckett and for your family.
So sleeping's hard for him. So he still has naps during the day. Getting him to bed at night, again, it really depends on how much activity he went through that day. Him and my wife, they're on the road quite often with appointments and stuff like that. So on the really long days, she does have him in a stroller still, so that helps. But if he moves too much, he's in pain. So typical day, he wakes up, basically we let him sleep as much as he can. And then he'll have a little bit of breakfast, but the way his stomach, the issues he has with his stomach, he can only eat so much. He loves food, but he has a couple little bites and then he's full. So he more has to eat constantly through the day. And he's on a special formula that helps with, it's got more calories and other nutrition and stuff like that to help him gain weight, because he's not growing. He's getting taller, but he's just not putting on any mass or weight. So we do supplement feed him as well through his G-tube. If he's at home, then he's doing schoolwork and learning with my wife, Leanne, and just playing, you know, as much as he can, sitting down, or, you know, he can stand for short periods of time, but not very long. So he's normally in a sitting position playing and doing crafts or puzzles or things like that. We go fishing during the day, and it's always like fishing off the bridge or fishing from a standing location, which is good for him because he loves it and he doesn't have to run around or anything like that. But he wants to run. That's what he wants to do. He wants to be able to ride a bike. He wants to be able to play tag and do those kinds of things. And like I say, we do let him do those occasionally. But when he pushes it, if he goes to a birthday party and he's playing for too long, he's literally screaming in agony, and on those days he'll be up all night.
It must be just incredibly frustrating for everybody. I mean, Beckett obviously just wants to be a normal kid. You want him to have a normal childhood. Yeah. You know, every day it seems like such a battle.
It is, and every day it's a struggle. I try to just stay positive and happy, and my focus is making sure that the kids all feel happy and loved, and every day is a special day. And he does enjoy life. He just misses out on so much, and that's the hard part. And for me, I work, so I'm working all the time. And it's not as hard for me to come in and be all positive and happy. And for my wife, and she's very positive, it's just she's with it all the time, 24/7. She's taking care of him and dealing with those struggles. And like for us, it's the hardest part is when we're being told, you know, there's no cure, there's no fix, or, you know, we can't. He just wants it out. Like he'll wake up and she just wants it out. And he's so smart. He's so aware of what's going on. He feels it. He knows it's where it is. And he actually had a surgery where they had to take his teeth out because he had throat problems. He was constantly throwing up and it was rotting his teeth. So they had to pull his teeth out. And he woke up from the surgery and he puts his hands in his mouth and he's like, what? They took my teeth, but they didn't take the tumor out of my leg? And he knew right away that it was still there. So it's, and you know, there's reasons why they can't just take it out, you know. Mm-hmm. He did have a biopsy, not this past October, but the October before that. The tumor is right inside the bone marrow. So to get inside, they ended up fracturing his femur and his hip, and he was in a full body cast for, well, it was just over a month. And then unfortunately it started to smell because it's the way the body cast goes around. It's impossible to keep it clean. They said we were doing a good job of keeping it clean, but unfortunately he ended up getting infected and we had to take the cast off, and he was on three different treatments of antibiotics. And it was just, it was the hardest months of our lives because he was just laying there wanting to stand and wanting to move, and he didn't have the cast to restrict him. So we basically have to just keep him from doing anything. It's one thing after another.
And so was this something he was born with?
We believe so. Like we found it a year or two after he was born. I'm not sure the exact date that we were diagnosed, that we found that actual first mass in his leg. But it was the first biopsy, or the only biopsy so far, was a year and a half ago. And we didn't get any information other than this diagnosis. But as far as we know, there's no other kid or no other person in Canada who has this. So it's so rare. They don't have very much information on it. And
that in and of itself must be just terrifying.
Yeah.
Because it's such a rare disease. And it's, who do you go to? Who are the experts when not much is known?
And that's just it. And that's why really we're trying to kind of make some awareness too, because you never know who knows something. And we're really open to anything. So that's why, you know, we're looking at doctors and hospitals in the States. And basically we're open to any kind of anybody out there, even if they've heard of this before, or they have, you know, any information is so valuable right now. Just so that we can do everything possible we can to, like we say, find a cure is really our goal. But just to have some answers so that we know the direction which to go. Pain management at such a young age is just so hard because, you know, if I break my arm and I'm on pain medication, I know that I can't use my arm, but he doesn't know. So if he's on pain medication, he thinks everything's fine and he's probably doing more damage when he doesn't feel it. And then once that pain medication wears off, it's I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Just hearing him crying out and begging for help and begging for it to come out, and it's heartbreaking.
How do his siblings handle seeing their brother like that?
They're amazing. They're so supportive. They love him. Like they still treat him like he's a little baby, and he's not. But they take care of him so well. His sister Catalia, she's like his second mom. She does everything with him and teaches him. And Hunter, his older brother, they're best friends. Like he just idolizes Hunter and just loves watching him do anything. Like he just gets so much joy from watching him do stuff, you know. And it's just so amazing how they interact, and they really don't even fight, you know. Like they have their odd sibling bickering, but it's more love than anything. And it's amazing. It truly is. We all work together as a family, and everybody has their roles, and everybody feels equally loved. And that's my main thing too, is making sure all three kids feel equal and equally as important and loved and cared for, and that's the most important thing.
And so you mentioned it a couple of times, you know, you're looking at options in the United States.
We've looked at a few different hospitals in the States, and the UCLA seems to be the one that they seem the most confident. Being able to at least look at it with just a new set of eyes is really it. So Gio is absolutely amazing, and they're always going to be, you know, watching over him, and we just want to get as many opinions as possible, really, and just find some sort of solution or solutions and just try whatever we can to just help him out.
Yeah, and the UCLA, it's the UCLA Pediatric Bone Disorders Program. What do you know about that, and what's the goal or intention of that program?
So I don't really know a whole lot about the program. We just know that we actually started out with St. Jude's Hospital because they deal with rare diseases, and they're the ones that got us in contact with UCLA and told us that that would probably be our best option. So we've just it's just all been so recent that we're in contact with them, and you know, we've paid for the first consultation, and they're already talking about skipping the phone consultation and maybe just bringing us right out there. So they have all of his information from Chio. And right now we're just basically waiting on things to line up and for them to tell us when we can go and meet those doctors.
You mentioned you paid for a consultation.
Yeah.
So that comes onto a whole other level.
Yeah.
It's not just an emotional stress, it's financial as well.
Absolutely. And I mean, even in Canada, I mean, we do have a great healthcare system, and we don't, you know, we save like the amount of surgeries between my son and my wife, there's over 30 surgeries between the two of them. I couldn't imagine having to pay for all those surgeries. But we have to pay for quite a bit of medication. We have to pay for, you know, the G-tubes and all the accessories that come along with that and different medications. He's still on diapers. There's so many different things that so many costs, just my wife driving to the appointments, on average 3 days a week. And she normally sets them up where there's like three or four appointments in a day. So she's just running back and forth, and she can't even be on the take the medication that she needs for her illnesses because I have to work. So she has to take him to his appointments and her appointments. And it's just a struggle all around, you know? So
it must feel like some days you're just drowning, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you try and stay afloat and stay
optimistic? Prayer, honestly. I keep my faith. I stay very positive. That's the biggest thing. Like, I used to have a bit of a negative outlook and kind of a poor me way of looking at things, and I found that was just a roller coaster downhill anytime I had that mindset. So for the last 5 years at least, I've just been, every day is a blessing. Beckett is a miracle. He's already beat the odds in so many different ways, constantly beating the odds. Just miracles have happened all around him ever since the day he was born. There was actually a nurse who, I think it was his second or third day alive, and she just had a feeling that something was wrong. There was no sirens or anything going off on his scans because he was in ICU, all hooked up to everything you can imagine. And she just had a feeling. So she pulled the cord for the emergency surgeons to come in. And just as they showed up, his lungs collapsed. And they were able to intubate him and inflate his lungs. And we were sleeping. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And we woke up to the news that his lungs collapsed. And this nurse, you know, God bless her, is just knew, you know, just had a feeling. And if she didn't have that feeling, then, you know, so, and that's just one of many, many miracles that, you know, we were told we couldn't even have him. And so he was a miracle child. All three of my kids, my first son was, we had a 2% chance. Wow. and he was born without any help. And same with our daughter, we were told it wasn't possible. And our whole family is a miracle. And I'm just grateful for every single day that I have with my kids and my wife and my family. And that's what keeps me going and keeps me happy and positive. and you know, I do what I love for a living, so I, you know, I have lots to complain about, but I have so much to be grateful for. So
now there is a fundraiser going on right now. Is there anything you want to mention regarding that?
Yeah, so we have a friend, a family friend, Jen Fry, who started this fundraiser for us, which I appreciate so much. I would never, it's really hard for me to ask for help. I take a lot of pride just being able to provide for my family, but there's only so much I can do. She started this Gift Send Go, and it's just been amazing. You know, just the prayers and the donations and the outreach that it's provided in the last a little over a week now has been really overwhelming for us. And I'm just kind of lost for words, really, with just how generous people have been. I just have a whole new level of hope that we're going to get some answers here and that we can move forward in a new direction.
And lastly, before I let you go, what do you think you've learned about yourself and your family in the last 5 years?
Just enjoy life. There's so many, you know, so many things that we can just be upset about and let us bring us down. And it's just appreciating and being thankful for the little things. I'm honestly happier now than I've been most of my life, and people don't understand it because they're like, you're going through so much, but I just appreciate everything, and I'm just so grateful for everything that we do have. We're just so blessed.